everybody. Welcome back to Gamer Heroes. It's been like a month since we've had a regular episode. I am Derek, one of your two awesome gamer hosts. John, my co-host, how are you, old friend?
Good, good. It's been a while. We haven't had a podcast, and we haven't actually hung out in a little while, so it's good to be back.
It is. We've been doing streaming and going places and things, and if you haven't caught our streams, so we have been streaming over at twitch.tv/heroespodcasts. We're doing this every other Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, and we've done Overwatch, we've done Left 4 Dead 2, we've done Borderlands 2, and for kind of a special thing, the next 2 weeks, so the day this comes out, this Wednesday, April 11th, and then next week, the 18th, we're going to be streaming the Overwatch Uprising event that will be going on for those 2 weeks.
Hell so. Yeah. It's going to be really exciting, guys. I know there's a lot of people really stoked for this event. Will there be another campaign much like last time?
Yeah, I think we'll be able to replay Uprising from last year, and then there might be some new stuff as well.
Good.
The big update comes tomorrow, so we'll know more of the details tomorrow, but which will be yesterday for those who are listening to the episode on Wednesday. But yeah, that should be a really good time. If you miss us live, you can still watch the recordings on Twitch, or you can go to our YouTube channel, which you can find at heroespodcast.com, or go to our Facebook page, Heroes Podcasts, and you can watch it from there. We'll embed the stream there as well. So it's a good time, but it's the two of us, John and I, and we're joined by Ryan, who is my co-host on Screen Heroes and John's business partner at Buster Props. So it's a good time.
We're all connected, guys. We're all connected.
And then once the Overwatch thing is done, we're going to be switching over to, we're staying with Blizzard, and we're going to move over to some Diablo 3, because all three of us are Diablo fans, and I finally picked up the Necromancer pack, and John finally got it on PC.
I did, and don't worry, guys, when we do stream this next week, or excuse me, 3 weeks, a couple weeks from now, I will be at a level that is acceptable. So don't you worry.
You're fine. So we're going to go into some news today. We're going to be talking about some things like the new Spider-Man game, and of course, BlizzCon's coming up, God of War, and then we'll be talking about some games that we've been playing recently, including PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds on mobile, Stardew Valley, and Nine Parchments.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, so I guess we'll just dive right in. I'm going to get the boring stuff out of the way, which is BlizzCon. So I don't mean to say that BlizzCon is boring, but the information is not super exciting. So BlizzCon is announced. It will be November 2nd and 3rd, which is a Friday and Saturday. And the tickets will be going on sale May 9th and May 12th, which is a Wednesday and Saturday, respectively. For those who are not familiar with how this works, Blizzard always does two groups of ticket sales for BlizzCon. Last year, yes, there was a third due to a new hall opening up at the Anaheim Convention Center, but they're going back to the normal two now that they know what's going to be available. And tickets are $199, which is the normal price. And I think there's like a $4 fee or something like that added onto it if you do want to go. It is, as I said, in Anaheim. You can stay at the Hilton, which is the convention hotel. Save yourself a few bucks and stay at the Clarion Hotel, which is also right there. And that's where I stayed last year. But I will not be attending this year.
That's what I was waiting for you to say. So you're just kind of burnt out on it, aren't you?
So, yeah. So the first year I went was 2014, which, let's be honest, was really the best possible year to go because they announced Overwatch, which was the first new IP for Blizzard in over 10 years. It was a big deal. They premiered their trailer that looked like a Pixar movie and all that cool stuff. The game was actually playable at the con. I mean, it was an amazing experience. I've been three of the last 4 years, and I did the virtual ticket for one of those years as well. Virtual ticket's super cheap. It's like $35, and you get access to all the panels, all of the DLC goodies that people get who go, and you can also buy the goodie bag that comes with extra stuff if you are so inclined. And I might do that this year. We'll see if I decide to take that Friday off or not to watch all the panels. But yeah, just, you know, it got bigger and bigger. With Overwatch, it got a little more mainstream, which is fine, but it just started to be really overpopulated. And this past year, it was bigger than ever in both physical size with the new hall at the convention center and just straight up ticket numbers sold because of the extra space. So it just gets difficult to do what you want to do. The lines are longer and, you know, the playtime almost feels shorter because you're standing in line longer. And I was really hoping for more of a focus on Diablo, and there's been less and less of a focus each year. And this past year, man, like, no joke, you could fit the entire Diablo area, like, in my tiny little living room in my 50-year-old house.
See, that frustrates me because it was the anniversary and everything, and it's like they had every chance to do something, and they just didn't. I hope they're not letting Diablo just go, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, right? Because they did, of course, they brought the Necromancer back, and now they've got the anniversary event that happens in January now every year. So there's still things going on. They're still updating the game. They're still supporting the game. But it doesn't make money like these other games do. You know, there's this whole thing about games as a service, and I don't want to get into semantics about what that definition is, but the idea is that you're continuously making money off of this game over time because people continue to play it. And that's, you know, Heroes of the Storm, it's Hearthstone, it's Overwatch, anything where you're buying card packs or characters or loot boxes. You know, you've got, of course, your games like, you know, PUBG and Fortnite and Destiny and now Sea of Thieves. You know, these are all games as a service, games that are supposed to be your main game that continue to get updated with DLC, maps, characters, etc. Diablo's an older gaming model, right? It was based primarily on a story mode, which I love, and it has a bunch of multiplayer stuff, but it's not designed in kind of the modern Destiny way.
Yeah. No. Honestly, Diablo, if they were to continue to add content and add new events and new stages or new boxes or new items consistently, they could make it that kind of play-to-play service. But I think they just are kind of just more focused on Overwatch right now, since especially the League launching that this year was a big deal for them. And I think they're just focusing on Overwatch, to be honest with you. It's their most popular item.
Well, they have a lot going on. You know, they just remastered StarCraft for the anniversary of that. So you've got new characters coming to Heroes of the Storm all the time, new expansions for Hearthstone all the time. So Blizzard's constantly pumping out new material and new content for their games. It's just a matter of where can you put that money in? What's the future? Now, maybe we're all wrong. Maybe they've been dialing things back for Diablo because they're working on D4 or something like that. But I'm not going to get my hopes up.
I don't know, man. I honestly feel like they're neglecting Diablo. I don't know. Like, I don't feel like their StarCraft did very well anyway. There's just too much competition. StarCraft is kind of a has-been.
Well, the original StarCraft is a little dated, but StarCraft 2 is still, you know, incredibly popular, especially as an esport, especially outside of the United States. You know, I guess we'll just have to see. And if you enjoy Blizzard games and you enjoy going to conventions, then this is kind of your thing. You know, it's all Blizzard all day. It's a 2-day con, and once you get in the door, you know, you get to play all these games for free. You get to go to all the panels and all that type of stuff. Check out new computer setups and tech, which I do enjoy kind of learning what those builds are. I always take note of the builds that they're using in case I get any ideas for my own desktop. But, you know, I think I'm going to skip it this year. Maybe I'll do the virtual pass if I feel like taking the Friday off. I can decide that kind of much closer to the date. Those of you who actually want to go, Wednesday, May 9th at 7 p.m. Pacific. So it'll be 9 for our Midwest folks and 10 p.m. for our Eastern folks. And then Saturday, May 12th at 10 a.m. Pacific. So be aware of that. They go pretty quick. So you're going to want you and your friends to be on top of that.
If you want to go.
If you want to go.
Wanna see it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's your thing. November 2nd and 3rd, so there you have it. So we'll move on. John, you had some stuff about God of War.
Yeah, God of War is coming out next week, April 20th. If you guys aren't as excited as I am, you have every reason to be. It looks phenomenal, and I think it's going to be, since obviously if you guys haven't played God of War before, it's a very fun, interesting concept. I mean, you're Kratos, and you basically fight all of the Greek gods. I don't know what they're going to do this time. It's a little different because it looks like it's following Kratos, and he has a son in this one, and they're just on an adventure. Not quite sure where they're going or what they're doing, because they've kind of been keeping the story very under wraps. But it's releasing on Friday, which is very odd for a PlayStation exclusive game. And I think a lot of that was because they moved it up. It was supposed to be released, believe the following week. They brought it up 1 week and we got it on Friday, so it's really great. I've personally got this pre-ordered on Amazon. Derek, do you have this pre-ordered? Because you really need to. Have you seen the screenshots?
All right, so I do not have it pre-ordered. In fact, I have never played a God of War game.
You know, I don't, because this one takes place so far in the future, and he has a kid. I don't think you really need to play the other games to know what's happening. I think it's a completely new story, new adventure. I can tell you for this, the mechanics look a lot different. The mechanics are usually more like a far away third person slasher kind of thing.
Is this God of War 4?
4. Yeah.
Okay. So they're basically doing the Gears of War thing, where they've jumped ahead in time, and your main character is now this old grizzly dude, and his son is the main character.
Yeah.
I already played that. I played Gears of War.
Okay. This is more adventure-based, so I'm not sure if it's... It's a bold new beginning. Like, they're starting out with new things, new gods, new types of Norse gods and creatures. So they're not just... So in the other games, you fought Zeus, you fought Ares, you know what I mean? You fought traditional gods. So they're changing it up. I think what's cool, the aspect, is you got the sun. So there's a potential to probably, you're probably going to have to like stop fighting at some point to go protect him or make sure that he doesn't get injured. So that kind of adds in some difficulty there. But I think it's going to be pretty open world, to be honest with you. So that's pretty great.
Well, okay, so do this for me. Pitch the game to somebody who's never played a God of War game. Why should they?
Do you like adventure? Do you like slaying monsters out of this world? This is the game for you. Do you like a game you can just pick up and play at any point and have fun? This is a game.
Okay. All right.
That's for me. Like, God of War 3, I played that so many freaking times, it's not even funny. And Ascension was good, and that was released on the PSP. Yeah. It's just one of those games you can pick up any point and you'll just have a good time. It's a slashing type game. But this one looks very different. I don't know if it's going to be slashing type. It kind of looks more like Uncharted, to be honest. Last of Us, to be honest with you. I feel like they morphed Last of Us with, like, I don't know. I got a more Last of Us vibe from the game.
Okay. That's interesting. But it's not, I mean, it's not Naughty Dog, though.
No, not at all.
So, I mean,
who is the...
very, very few companies can reach the level of Naughty Dog.
This one is... I can't even see it. Anyways, people have been all over Reddit sharing pictures of the casing, the cover, the front and the back.
You just order the regular version of the game? Is there any, like, collector's edition or anything?
Let me see here. No, I did order the regular. Usually do. There's very few collector's editions that I'm, like, really interested in. So I'll give an example. I got the collector's edition of Mortal Kombat 9 because it came with a Scorpion statue.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that was cool. The $100 was worth it because, you know, the game's $60, so $40 for the statue, and then you get the steel book and you get all these other cool stuff with it.
I got the collector's edition of Street Fighter V because of the Ryu statue.
It was a good deal. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, the statue's pretty detailed for what it is, to be honest with you. It's pretty darn good.
Yeah. That's cool.
I don't know what this collector's... So, how great would that be if it came with some of the other games, the old ones?
Let's see. That would be very interesting if it did that, because I think more games need to do that. The reason I got Gears of War 4 was that if you bought it when it first came out, you actually got all 5 Gears of War games.
I thought that was a genius marketing ploy, and that was a good way to bring new people in. I thought that was genius.
Well, so for me, I only ever owned the first one, and I barely played it. So I, you know, always wanted to go back and play them, but I never really wanted to put in the money. So you're telling me that, because I did the pre-order discounts, so I got 20% off, right? So I paid $48 for 5 games.
Right. And oh, that's a hell of a deal.
I still haven't played Judgment Day or whatever it is, the prequel one, but I've played all 4 of the numbered ones, and I'm glad I did, because other than 2, the other 3 are really good games. So
the collector's edition, yeah, no, I've played up until Gears of War 3, and I never beat the campaign of 3, but I play a lot of 1 and 2, because I had a 360 at that time. Mm. The collector's edition comes with a 9-inch Kratos and Atreus statue. The statue looks all right. I don't think it's that cool. So this isn't one that I think is interesting. I haven't looked into this one at all, to be honest with you. It doesn't really look that interesting to me. It looks like you can get some digital content. You get some 2-inch Huldra Brothers carvings. Steel bookcase. I think that's pretty common now. Cloth map. That's kind of cool. And then a lithograph.
Okay.
Which I feel is kind of common now.
That's pretty much what it is. We'll talk about Spider-Man here in a minute, but that's not that. It's pretty much the same thing. So
yeah, I feel like everybody's kind of doing that. I expect a steel book every time, and I expect one figurine, whether it's a statue or a little figure. I usually get, because I've bought a lot of collector's content in the past, and I was very disappointed with. Resident Evil 5, when that came out, 2008. I was like, yes, yeah, it was a good game. I did like the game. Came with a 3-inch Chris figure who had no detail on his face. It hardly even looked human. I was very disappointed. The steel bookcase, a satchel that was so small that I could hardly even fit like a small journal in.
Nice.
And then like a map. I'm like, this is stupid. I just spent $100 on a terrible figurine, a satchel like it doesn't fit anything except for lip gloss, and a map I'm not even going to look at.
Yeah, that's a shame. I mean, I do think that I probably don't get much use out of the kind of collector's edition stuff that I tend to feel excited about, you know?
I think if you're going to throw some extra games, I think Call of Duty... I don't know if they do it now, but I know when they were doing the most recent Modern Warfare 2, you got the hardened edition and it came with the classic games. And I think that's a genius idea.
Definitely in this generation, right? Like for God of War, for The Witcher, for any of these franchises that are continuing into this new generation, you can bring in a whole new group of people if you just throw in the old games. And I mean, that's what sold me on Gears of War. And, you know, I was able to get, the first 2 Wolfenstein games really cheap together. And, you know, so Bayonetta was that way too. Those 2 came together, on the Switch, as much as I'm not enjoying the first one. but that's beside the point. you know, it was a good enough strategy to get me to pick it up. So
it's, that's kind of where I'm at now. It's like, I'm not going for collector's editions, like I said, unless it's really, really good, but really I'm going for the value.
All right. Well, we'll finish up the news segment here with just a bit about Spider-Man. So the Sony exclusive PlayStation 4 Spider-Man game officially has a release date. It is coming out September 7th to the PS4 only. They want to make sure that's very clear.
Well, they own Spider-Man. Well, not anymore. I mean, they kind of gave him over to
Marvel. Still own Spider-Man. They still own Spider-Man. So they own the Spider-Verse.
It's kind of, you know, hey, yeah, we got the money.
It's available for pre-order right now. There are three versions of the game available. There's, of course, your regular edition, your collector's edition, and then a digital deluxe. They all come with pre-order bonuses, which is, something that I'm hot and cold on, depending on the situation. I can appreciate that you get extra stuff for supporting the game early, but a lot of the time this content ends up being in-game content later anyway. Look up Star Trek Online if you're curious about anything like that. I paid a fortune on pre-orders for that game to get a bunch of stuff that you can get whenever you want now. So there's a triple pack of special Spider-Man suits that you'll get as a pre-order. They've shown one of them off already, which is like punk rocker Spider-Man, I guess. He's got
so cool
spikes on his head and a denim vest. I don't know. And cuffs. I don't know. It's a little weird. Then some other stuff. There's going to be some other things that are pre-order bonuses there. The collector's edition is basically the same as what you were talking about. You'll get a steelbook. It says a custom steelbook. I find it hard to believe that my steelbook would be different than your steelbook, but hey, you'll get a sticker, you'll get an art book. And then of course, most importantly is the statue, some type of Spider-Man statue that we don't really know what it is. It says it's going to be revealed later this summer. So
that's kind of odd. Yeah. Hey guys, be excited for the statue. You have no idea what you're going to get.
Well, yeah. I mean, I get that maybe it's not done yet, but it's $150 if you want to get the collector's edition. According to the site, Amazon is already sold out, but the other sites might have it, so you can feel free to check them out if that's something that you are interested in. So, how do you feel about the Spider-Man game? Are you excited about it?
I have opinions. I don't like Spider-Man at all, but I will say the game does look pretty cool. And some of the suits that he has, and I'm wondering if they're going to tie this into Infinity War. I was pretty certain the suit that he has in Infinity War will be in this game.
It'll probably be one of the pre-order bonus suits.
Right. It looks pretty cool. Like, I remember playing Spider-Man 2 or Spider-Man, the game on PlayStation 2, or was it 1? I don't even remember how old it was.
I had Spider-Man on the original Xbox.
Do you remember where it was like you could web sling and there would be no buildings around, you could still slide, and then like if you're up on the rooftops, like if you fell, you would just die. It's just like clouds.
Oh no, so okay, I don't know if maybe the Xbox version was drastically different, but I was playing the Spider-Man 2 game and you had to, like, web-sling on specific objects.
But it must have been the first one.
It was so good. You could web-sling through all of Manhattan. It was awesome.
And it was based on the movie?
I mean, more or less, yeah. I did very little that had to do with the movie. But because it was just fun, like, web-slinging around. Like, I'd climb to the top of the Empire State Building and jump off. And you could just hear the wind rushing by. Like, back then, that game was awesome.
You played the better one, because I must have played the first one or an older one, because it was not that intuitive. Like, literally, you can just be web-slinging in the sky and swinging across.
Oh, no. It was pretty great.
And, like, if you're on a rooftop, like, for, I don't know, if you went high enough, there would be, like, clouds. You know what I mean? So, like, you only see the rooftops, and if you fell, you just die, and you just, like, disappear.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
No, this was not like that.
This one looks really cool. Looks like you can do some pretty cool stuff. I'm wondering how open world it is, and I'm wondering if it's kind of like what they did with, like, Arkham City, if it's going to be like that, where, you know, there's shit just happening all over the map, and you just kind of pick which mission you want to do.
I mean, that's possible. That's definitely possible. Because, I mean, there's supposed to be a lot of stuff that you can do, but I know, like, Spider-Man can't really kill anybody, so you're kind of just, like, knocking people out. So
dude, I want Grand Theft Auto, but with Spider-Man. That's what I want.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get that, because they're definitely trying to make Spider-Man, you know, kid-friendly and all of that. So I don't think you're going to see, like, any type of mature style of Spider-Man.
A boy can dream.
I mean, sure. If that's what you want to do, you're welcome to it. But that's going to be it, I think, for our new segment. John, what have you been playing recently?
I have been playing a couple games, but the biggest one to note is, and I believe it's, it's PUBG Mobile, guys. It's PUBG Mobile. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds Mobile. It is equally fun and frustrating at the same time. The controls are kind of wonky because, you know, your joystick is a touchscreen joystick. But I will say I'm very impressed with how it handles everything and the rendering and the online. It's actually a great feat, to be honest with you. I am very surprised that they're able to make this work as good as it does. I think the controllers are the only thing that's wonky for me. So I'm waiting for like a third party person to come up with some kind of thing you slide on the, you know, on your phone while it's sideways that you could put joysticks on or something.
Well, they make those for certain.
They make
phones.
those little sticking ones, but I'm talking about like
I mean like legit like plastic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but like it's only for certain devices, so it depends which phone you have.
So that would make it a lot better, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
But it's actually the graphics. It renders it automatically, looks at your device when you start the game, and it basically here's the suggested, you know, recommended settings based on your device. But you can ramp those up if your device can handle it, and it actually, so just like any other game that renders like that, it actually clears up the view. It could clear it up way far, like you could see hundreds of yards away. If you have it in a lower setting, you can only see about 100 yards, and of course it loads once you start moving in that direction. But it's very... I haven't played the PC PUBG, but I've watched a lot of videos, and it's very, very similar. I guess the weapons system is pretty nice. Like the menus, the only thing that's crappy about it is like it's a tiny little button on your screen, and if for those who have smaller screens, I have a six inch screen. For those who have smaller screens, I can't imagine pressing the menu button to get to your items. Kind of be a pain in the ass.
Well, so I have a funny story about this game. So I played it just like one time. I was curious.
Yeah, what's your impression?
Well, I had a bad experience. Uh-oh. I accidentally... So for those who don't know what PUBG is, let's get that out of the way real quick. So you start on an airplane, and you all jump out of an airplane and parachute down to this land space, and last person surviving wins, and over time the area shrinks, so that way you're forced to interact with each other. And you start with nothing. Like, literally, you're there.
You're naked. You're just in your underwear.
So you gotta find, you know, clothes and guns and weapons and ammo, and there's vehicles. Like, I found a motorcycle, those types of things. So I accidentally, because I had never played on a touchscreen like this before, I accidentally deployed my chute, like, almost instantly after getting out of the plane.
Oh, God, so it took you forever to get to the ground.
Dude, it took so long. It took so long.
You can actually detach from it.
Okay, see, I didn't know that.
But you would die.
I would die,
at that height.
So that was the thing. So, like, I'm trying to go down. You can kind of force yourself to go a little bit faster but yeah. The whole time, like, you're watching the clock click tick down because they're about to, like, change the zone. I'm like, I haven't even landed yet. So by the time I landed, like, I basically spent the entire game trying to catch up with the zone.
Yeah. So, and it's random, too. So the zones are random. And I think it calculates it based on where everyone's at, and it kind of just finds a middle ground. So some people will be in there. Others will be, like, just outside of it. But Yeah, that's the one frustrating thing about it. And the movement's kind of a little frustrating on a little phone. I feel like it'd be great on like a Samsung tablet. Like it'd be a lot easier to use.
Well, it's tough because I feel like you can't see what's going on, right? Because you know, you've got, you know, one thumb's blocking like a quarter of the screen, the other thumb's
on your
blocking
phone.
A quarter of the screen.
That's why I think a tablet might be better, like a Samsung.
I have a small phone. I've got an S9, Galaxy S9. It's not a tiny phone, you know, but I just found it hard to kind of see what I was doing.
And, the controls are wonky. Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
But, I mean,
the performance was pretty impressive.
Right? Like, I was very impressed with, there's hardly any lag in your shooting, and the graphics look pretty darn clean for a mobile game. I was very impressed with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, when you're just sitting in the menu and you're picking out your items for your character, like, the guy looks, there's detail in his face, which, those are like, wow, a mobile device could do that. It's a great feat, to be honest with you, to bring such a complicated game to mobile.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
I mean, it's one of those games too. I'll probably pick up once in a while and play whenever I'm bored. But if I'm going to play handheld, I obviously prefer my Switch.
Well, yeah, I mean,
bring PUBG to Nintendo Switch. I'll play the shit out of that.
That would be really cool. I don't see it happening anytime soon, which is a little silly because obviously, like, it works on my phone, so it should. You'd think it would work.
It would be able to port anywhere, right?
Right. Yeah. But from what I understand, that's not really the goal. You know, is to bring it to Switch. So I don't know. I think it'll kind of depend, but I'd be surprised.
I will say, though, and because it is running so high, it drains your battery like no other.
Yes.
Like, I had 75% battery, and by the end of one match, so that's, I don't know, give or take 15 minutes, I was down to 20% already.
I did notice that. I definitely noticed that my battery was just destroyed. But,
yeah,
I mean, I guess I shouldn't really be surprised by that, though, right? Because, you know,
it's working.
It's trying to play. It's a full screen game. It's got a lot of stuff going on. It's constantly connected to the internet, so it's not super surprising.
Yeah, you can't really play that game successfully either on mobile data. You need to be on a Wi-Fi.
I would agree with that.
I tried playing it at work. Yeah, and without the Wi-Fi. It was very laggy, so I guess you have to be on, and that kind of, for me, that kind of defeats the purpose of mobile in a lot of aspects, because it's like, mobile, sure, you can take it on the go, but at the same time, do I have to be in a McDonald's? Do I have to be at home? You know what I mean? Like, it should be able to run properly on data.
But there's so many variables.
There is.
You know, because where's the closest tower? What network or what carrier are you on? I mean, there's just so many things that could come into play with that I'm not sure that's the game's fault, you know?
I'm not blaming them. I'm just saying, like, for me, it's like, I want to be able to play this anywhere at any time. And
sure,
that's not an option.
No, it's not. It's not. But again, like, I think that's an infrastructure problem, though. Right, I don't think that's a problem with the game or the phone. I think that's a problem with cell towers and bandwidth.
And I have Sprint, so it's not like, I mean, I have pretty good coverage for the most part near major cities. But
I don't know, man. I don't know. Not to dog on Sprint, but I live fairly close to their international headquarters. It's a pretty big dead spot. So.
I know, no, that's a running joke here. If you guys are listening from out of state, we're in Kansas City. And in Kansas City, there's this running joke that Sprint gets coverage everywhere but their own headquarters.
I mean, kind of.
And it's true. So
I tried Sprint for a little while, but yeah, I didn't really have a signal in my own home or at my work, which, I mean, let's face it, those are the two places I spend the most time. So I switched back to Verizon because, yeah, Verizon costs more.
But they're better in a lot of ways. Yeah.
So.
They really are. Like, you've never had signal problems.
You know the con life. We go to some weird places in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, at least if you're not going weird places, you're passing through weird places.
Right, right, exactly. So
getting salmon at Denny's, you know.
Ugh. Man, yeah, who would do that? I don't know.
All right, well let's get off of player on PUBG Mobile.
Alright, PUBGM.
PUBGM, yeah. Right,
so I've been playing a couple of different games. I'll touch on one real quick, which is Stardew Valley on Nintendo Switch. I've been kind of holding off picking this one up for a while, but I was going to be out of town a little bit, so I decided that I would grab it because I thought it would be an easy one to play on airplanes and that type of thing.
Is it?
Yeah, it totally is. It totally is. So for those who don't know, Stardew Valley is kind of like a farming RPG game. It is not like Minecraft. I've had to talk to a few people about that. It's not Minecraft. But there are some crafting aspects to it, which I hate to break it to you, Minecraft fanboys or girls or people. Crafting has existed a lot longer than Minecraft. So, but it is done in an old, you know, 8-bit style graphics. And you're this farmer who's taken over his grandfather's farm, and basically you go through individual days, and the game only saves at the end of each day. Each day takes, I don't know, 10 minutes, which is not a lot of time. I will tell you that. That is not a lot of time to accomplish what you need to accomplish. But it's cool. You go throughout this town meeting all these different people, and you can become friends with them or enemies and do all these different things, and you're trying to build your farm up and all that cool stuff. There's a wizard. I met a wizard.
That's really random.
Yeah.
A wizard.
And I'm exploring these like creatures that are either from another dimension or they're aliens or something. I don't know. The game's kind of going off the rails, but it's a lot of fun. It's a nice game. The music's good. The graphics are nice. The controls are really, really good, except when you need to access your journal. And that's because you have to use the mouse pointer. Because remember, this was originally a PC game. And the mouse pointer, when you're trying to do that with a joystick on the Switch, that's a little frustrating. But otherwise, it's a good game. It's $15, you know, so it's not a huge investment. But it is a very long game. I mean, you basically play through, I think, 3 years on the farm. So you figure each day is... Yeah, each day is like 10 minutes. You got 365 days times 3. You got plenty to do. So, but you can also speed things up. Basically, the day ends when you go to sleep that day. I have not tried just staying up till midnight. Maybe I should. Just kind of see what happens. I got a dog. I have a dog now. So.
That's coming up in the game. If you have a dog,
I know Ryan would be successful. Happy about it.
Yeah, he only plays games with animals you can pet the and whole interact reason, with.
The whole reason he picked up Far Cry 5 was because he knew you could pet your dog. So
good.
You know. So I've been playing that. That's a good game. It's definitely a specific game. Not the most exciting thing in the world, but pretty relaxing. The other game I've been playing, though, is a little more interesting. It's called 9 Parchments. And it is also on Switch, and it has a local co-op, so I've been playing that with the girl, and it's basically a Diablo clone, for lack of a more detailed explanation. You play wizards, and it's a top-down, third-person style RPG, where you learn new spells over time. So basically the premise of the game is you and whoever else you're playing with are trying to track down these 9 parchments, which are these special spells that got blown away throughout the kingdom. And you're fighting all these crazy monsters and creatures that have different abilities. And they all are on these kind of hierarchies of weaknesses and strengths. So if you have like an ice beast, you have to attack it with, you know, something that isn't ice, right? If it's immune to ice, you have to attack it with fire or lightning. You know, those kinds of things. So it's a cool game. It's only $20 on the Switch eShop. So it's another indie title from Frozen Byte, I believe is the name.
Oh, yeah. Didn't we actually play a game with them?
Frozen Byte? I don't think so.
I thought we did. We played a game with them.
Did we?
By them. Sorry.
I don't think so. Prove me wrong.
Here I'm looking it up.
If I have anything to say about this game, though, it's that the scenery is gorgeous. They did such a good job with the scenery in this game. It's beautiful, highly detailed, just gorgeous scenery and landscapes and plants and little animals and water. Like, it just looks really good.
So, I played games with them, not you. Sorry. Okay. Trine. I played Trine 1 and 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
You're good. It's a beautiful game. I will definitely say that. Some of it's a little difficult. We're playing on normal, and there's these challenges that let you unlock new characters that you can play as. And we're on the second challenge, and man, like, I just can't figure out the order of operations here to get past this thing. We just keep on dying. And I got pretty frustrated, I'll be honest. But it's got different difficulty levels that you can kind of screw around with. You can change how friendly fire works, which is really interesting. Because kind of like, unlike in Diablo, friendly fire is a real problem in Nine Parchments, where
right.
If you have an area of effect ability, it's going to hurt your teammates.
It looks a lot like Trine. I was just looking at some screenshots. So there's a lot of puzzles, because this company is notorious for puzzles.
I would not say there's any puzzles.
Really? You're not having to use each other's abilities to get past whatever creature or...
I mean, I wouldn't call it a puzzle to know that the ice monster, you have to use something other than ice against. Like, that's not really a puzzle.
No, that's not a puzzle. So...
You know, but...
It looks like Trine. It's a little further out, the camera view, but, the colors and everything's very reminiscent. That's nice.
It's a really beautiful game, and the local co-op works really, really well. And, you know, they actually have a leg up on Diablo. So my biggest complaint about Diablo on PS4 is that when you play with another person, the whole reason I bought it on PS4 was to play with the girl, that you know, you're on the same screen, right? So when you have to go through your inventory or change any abilities, you have to take turns in Diablo. So, you know, when you start running out of inventory space and you have to decide what you're going to keep and what you're going to throw away, you have to take turns doing that. And it's boring. But in Nine Parchments, you don't have to do that. There is no inventory. But second off, your trees for your abilities and your upgrades, you can do that side by side at the same time. So, I appreciate that. It speeds up the process a lot, and it means that there's no real downtime for anybody. The game's a little more tongue-in-cheek. The characters banter with each other a little bit. They're a little sarcastically biting towards each other at times, but it's a really beautiful game, and the creatures are cool, and the gameplay is really solid. There's a few quirks about it, you know, that you kind of have to get used to, but...
That's exciting.
For $20?
Yeah, oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, for $20, if you want a co-op experience, if you're looking for a good co-op game on Nintendo Switch, so far I haven't really found anything that would match it. It's pretty great. The way we play is she's using a Switch Pro controller, and I'm actually using one of the $20 USB officially licensed Hiri controllers. So it's $20. It's basically a Pro controller with... no battery, no gyro, and no NFC. So it's a little bit lighter. It's a little bit bulkier. It's not as comfortable as the Pro Controller, but I think those are the best routes to go. I tried playing it with the Joy-Con in the grip, but I found it to be a little cramped for space for a game like this.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Like, how's the button layout in the menus? Is it pretty... solid? I guess is the layout pretty good on the...
I think it's really intuitive. Good. You know, you basically have different abilities. You can jump, you can melee, and you have your spells, and you have a spell wheel that you can cycle through.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you add spells as you go, and you can organize the order of those spells. So for me, I just order them by type, and you can cycle through them and stuff.
Like mid-game?
Yeah, that's just nice. Like as you're going. You basically you use the D-pad to change the order of them, and then you use your L1s and L2s to cycle through, and then your, let's see, ZL is your melee, and your ZR is to actually use the spell that's selected. I think it's pretty intuitive. It doesn't take long to get a grasp of the controls at all. Probably the hardest thing is using both joysticks at the same time, because the best way to be productive is to move around, and so you can move away and change which direction you're looking at the same time, right? Just like you could with Diablo, I think it's a little bit harder to do on Nine Parchments, but more important. So you kind of have to learn about strafing a bit and moving one direction while looking a different direction and those types of things to really maximize your chances.
Right. That sounds great. I would love to play some co-op with you.
Yeah, man. It's a really good game. It has online co-op, so if you decide to pick it up, we could play online.
Yeah. No, that'd be great.
So, but really cool game. Just had a big update this past week, too, that changed a few things. Made some UI changes that were really nice. Changed how you resume your game, because we accidentally lost our save the first time because I didn't understand how to pick it back up.
That's... Hopefully you didn't get too far.
It's a little weird because you have to basically resume a single player game, and then the second player hits the plus button to join. And that's where you left off. It's all your saved stuff is there, but it's not super intuitive how to do that. So the first time around, we lost our save, but now we know better. So, but that's it. That's what I've been playing. I did pick up something new on my 3DS. What was it? I picked up, hang on. Oh, yeah, Mighty Switch Force 2 on my 3DS. I traded in some coins.
Oh, that just sounds cool.
To pick that up. Yeah, well, it was free. I used some coins, so we'll see how it is. Other than that, you know, just whatever we've been streaming, that's all I've really had time for, man.
Yeah, you played Borderlands 2 for the first time last week, which was a good one.
Yeah, I wasn't very good. I was pretty bad.
It's okay.
I was pretty bad.
That's all right. Continue to play. It's a lot of fun, man. I bet you might be better off. You might have a better time playing with a controller on your
maybe
PC.
I thought about it just because I figured I would be more comfortable.
It is more
with
comfortable. That's what I was playing with.
Well, I'm used to first-person shooters on a console. When I play PC games, Overwatch is the only first-person shooter I play on PC.
And it's fast-paced.
You know, and even that took some getting used to because I'm used to playing, you know, Halo and Gears of War and those types of games on a console. So
for me, it's comfortable too. It's just slower.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's just slow on aiming. But if you're playing like, you know, NPCs, you're just fighting, you know, monsters and stuff, your reaction time is not a big deal.
So are you going to go see Rampage?
I'm gonna wait for the reviews, man. That movie looks ridiculous. It just looks so, like, I don't even know what to think. Like, Jumanji was great. Okay, I consider that a gamer movie. I haven't seen Ready Player One, but the reviews are great, and you guys saw that and you reviewed it on Screen Heroes. So
yep,
it was good, right? I just don't think Rampage. Come on, man. The tagline is, of course the wolf can fly.
Of course the wolf can fly.
That's just kind of silly.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. It looks pretty crazy. It definitely looks out there, but, you know, I guess we'll see. It is a video game movie. I love the old Rampage video games, so I kind of want to,
but they didn't really have a story. So,
no, not
to
really.
Make a story pick off a giant... of that is crazy.
Well, because in the game, you're the giant monster.
Yeah.
Your goal is to destroy as much as possible.
That's it.
So,
yeah,
it's weird being on the other side of that. I guess. I didn't know. I didn't know that the albino ape was the good guy.
I guess.
I didn't know.
I mean, it's got the cast is great. Like, it's got The Rock, it's got Joe Manganiello, it's got Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Sweet.
What? I mean, I like all three of those guys.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. Maybe we'll go see it just for kicks.
Tomb Raider was pretty good. Surprisingly, I had low expectations for that, and it was much better. So maybe this giant gorilla can win our hearts.
Maybe, man. I like Tomb Raider, though. We reviewed that as well on Screen Heroes, because that's what we focus on, our movies and TV. So go check those out.
So you kind of winced when I said you liked Player One, Ready Player One. You're like,
That's because I did not like it.
Wow.
So, yeah. I have strong opinions about it. Details.
Because you're comparing it to the book, aren't you?
Not exactly, because I knew they were going to be different, because Spielberg said it's his interpretation of the novel. Yeah, so it's not a direct adaptation, and it is very much different from the book. But even that, I still have a lot of problems with it.
Huh. Yeah, I mean,
it's a beautiful movie. The special effects are great. Sure. I wish the Oasis was real. I want to play in there, man. Looks awesome.
Right? Like, if that really was the future, minus the whole, like, killing people off and being poor. But if that were the future of gaming, that'd be pretty cool.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I want the Oasis. I don't want any of the other
stuff. Yeah, exactly. I want the Oasis.
You know, I want my Back to the Future DeLorean with the Ecto symbol on it that can shrink down to the size of a keychain.
That's cool. You know? So it's like the Ant-Man car.
I mean, basically, yeah.
It's like... It's a Hank Pym ride. Screw Doc Brown.
You know, Ninja Turtles are in there. The Battletoads are in there. So.
I heard there's 150 characters in there that you will recognize if you're a nerd.
I mean, maybe. I guess it depends what you're counting. I mean, Hello Kitty was in there.
I mean, that's definitely a fandom.
You know, King Kong's in there.
There's something for everyone.
So, yeah, I mean, there really is. Like, there's a lot of eye candy. So if you go in there and you're bored, then I'm not really sure what to say about that. But I thought it was only mediocre.
Huh. Well, I need to watch it now so I can make a decision for myself.
Yeah.
So, that's...
But, I think that's going to be it for us this week, man. We are going to be streaming Overwatch tonight, Wednesday, April 11th. We'll be streaming it again next week on the 18th, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central at twitch.tv/heroespodcasts. Don't forget, we do the podcast every other week, and we stream on alternating weeks unless there's something special like this Overwatch event. John, is there anything else you want to talk
about? No, guys, I think we're ready to stream some stuff. So, hey, guys, stay tuned in. Come catch us here, and watch us play some Overwatch.
Yes, please do. Chat with us on our Twitch channel. Follow us. We're at Heroes Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, and Instagram, heroespodcasts.com. You can find this show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Blog Talk Radio, and Spreaker. Please subscribe. We will catch you guys next week.
Gamer Heroes is a part of the Heroes Podcast Network. The show hosts myself, John Zerwinski, and Derek Mayer. The theme song is by Flying Killer Robots. You can find us as well as the other Heroes Podcast shows at heroespodcast.com, as well as on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, check us out there, Google Play, and anywhere you can use an RSS feed. Follow us on social media, shameless plug, at Heroes Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitch. Or, if you're old school and you just want to email us, you can get us at contact@heroespodcasts.com. Game on.